All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, Burke and I are here to welcome you back to part two.
Welcome to the law firm of Davis and Davis. We're not a real law firm.
Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen.
This was one of our favorite albums when I was in the Navy.
It was one of my favorite albums.
They played this every night that we were drinking.
This is Pretty Hate Machine.
Yes.
Yeah, dance music gone horribly wrong is the way I described that album. I had the NIN sticker on the back of my 94 Civic for forever. Well, I've seen them three times.
Almost as many times as I've seen Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah.
All right. So we are into our Batman review. Well, the Batman.
The Batman 2022.
The Batman. Unfortunately, our audience is not going to get to hear the first time that we tried this.
It was a little combative. It was a little slurry.
Was it combative? I didn't think it was combative, but it could have been.
We have some disagreements, but that's cool.
We definitely have some disagreements on the movie, but let's get into it.
Let's do this thing.
The Batman came out in 2022. Yes, we are actually reviewing a current movie.
Scary.
Isn't that weird? I just don't know how that works, but
and we've both seen it. So
we have both seen it. I am going to let Brother Burke take off with some numbers,
details, whatnots. The Batman 2022, 2 hours, 56 minutes long, directed by Matt Reeves, written by Matt Reeves and Peter Craig. Music by Michael, and I'm going to screw up your last name, Giacchino. Cinematographer, Greg Fraser. Rotten Tomatoes, do you remember this from last night?
Nope.
Okay, guess the Rotten Tomato meter for this one.
Rotten Tomato meter, I'm going to say 98.
No, only 85.
85.
Okay. And the audience?
Probably 90.
87, so really? Pretty close. Yeah, they're all pretty close. Roger Ebert did not review this movie, but RogerEbert.com, a lady named Christy Lemire, gave it a 3.5-star rating. I think that's out of 4, but I'm not 100% sure. It didn't show me exactly. So she seemed to like it a whole heck of a lot. So,
okay.
Money wise, domestic box office 2022. Number one movie, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which I have not seen and I want to badly.
Yes.
Number two is The Batman. Number three, Spider-Man No Way Home, which I didn't have a lot of high hopes going into that movie. And I was like really impressed with that. I really fell in love with that movie. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is number 4. Top Gun Maverick's number 5, but it hadn't been out very long. So that's kind of impressive. Uncharted, Lost City, Fantastic Beasts, Scream. Morbius is 12. How it got that high is beyond me. Jackass Forever is actually at 14.
Does that surprise you?
No.
Because it does not surprise me at all.
I never get tired of those idiots.
I absolutely love those guys. they just... we have ducks.
Is that like, thunder?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
But okay. Not to interrupt the Batman stuff, but... Time Warner Cable finally came out and installed a new cable from the spider box here all the way out to the road.
And nice.
They did it at like 3 o'clock in the freaking morning. So I was like, hey, you guys are a little bit dedicated, aren't you? And this happened after the 15th time that I called them.
Just that's the number, huh? 15?
Apparently it takes 15 for it to actually happen. I have not had an issue with my internet since, first off. Secondly, it is storming right now. There is thunder, there is lightning, and there is a river running through it in my backyard. I have zero drop off on my internet now.
Last night you thought the upload speed was slowing down a touch, but that could be network more than your cables.
That could be demand. When we recorded last night, it was in the middle of peak. Peak time. Everyone, there's 300 some people in this apartment complex or 300 units. So there's probably 800 people living here. And they're all on that internet at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Love them some interwebs.
Yeah. That Basil Hayden.
I told you that shit would sneak up on you, man.
That's Basil Hayden's my friend.
I'm drinking more tonight.
I'm sticking with beer. I was like, no.
I have to get through this one.
No. Plus, I have to work tomorrow. So
I do too.
Beer so. Only.
Just a couple of quick things that I was writing down as I was watching the movie.
You didn't say the best movie that was on this list, which was Death on the Nile. Death on the Nile was 16th. Two Above Downton Abbey. Death on the Nile. It's an Agatha Christie Poirot murder mystery. It's fabulous.
They brought back what's his name from the other one? The guy who was in the Harry Potter movies, who directed Thor.
Yes, he played the professor who was
the pompous professor the looks and taking pictures and yes.
Okay, on that note. That was all I wanted to say was but it was because it's death of the Nile.
Death of denial.
Oh, death of denial. Denial.
Sorry, left of denial.
It's been a long, long day.
Half of it was probably taking care of your hangover.
almost all of it was. It seriously killed me. It was evil.
It's worse every year, doesn't it?
It really does. Oh. I hate to say that because I know we're getting older, but fuck me running. I just it's not fun anymore.
it's been on the brutal side. All right, so these were just, I have five notes that I just kind of wrote down as I was watching the movie. When Batman walks up to the Penguin's car after the big chase, it's kind of reminiscent of old westerns. I mean, like, if you listen to the sound effects, it almost sounds like he has spurs on when he's walking up to the car and it's all upside down and backlit with the orange and everything. And I was impressed with Zoe Kravitz's performance, and I really haven't liked her in anything yet. She just seems kind of, I don't know, stilted or stale or whatever, but I liked her performance.
Okay.
And I also love how in this movie, the Wayne family legacy isn't as squeaky clean as it is in some of the other portrayals. The hallway scene, the one hallway scene when the Batman goes into the nightclub and he's going down this hallway and it's completely dark and it is lit only by machine gun shots. That to me was just a beautiful, beautifully well done scene. It kind of mirrors the shot from Rogue One at the very end of Rogue One in the hallway where all of a sudden it's dark hallway and it just gets lit up by Darth Vader's lightsaber. And then I know there was a lot of practical stuff in the movie. I know there was some CGI. The only bad bit of CGI I saw in the entire movie, when Catwoman takes off from her apartment, she leaves Annika behind, she goes out a window, jumps down to the ground. It was very obviously CGI'd, and it was just like, you could have done just a touch better on that. But there were some shots that in this movie that I didn't realize were CGI that I thought were real, and there were some real shots I thought they would have used CGI. So I was kind of impressed with the blend. So those are my five impressions that I got just watching the movie.
My little list of things that I wrote down were very simple. The cinematography was great, but I kind of got tired of all the muted colors. Now they've done that in almost every Batman movie. They've muted the colors when they're in Gotham. When they're around Gotham, They always try to make it look like it's just a rundown city that there's never a sunlight in. Did not enjoy that. Number two, I honestly thought that the costuming stunk. His costume is fabulous.
Okay.
Catwoman's? Just made no sense to me. You have this skin tight outfit on her, and then you have a mask that's basically just a piece of cloth over her nose. Why?
We were talking about this last night. I was maybe offering up it could be that this is year two for Batman.
Yeah,
this is very early on maybe early on in both of their careers. I mean, you know, you claim she's got a $10,000 motorcycle up, she could have stole it, you know. She is a thief, but you know, she may just go for functional, like if you're going to go into somebody's house and steal stuff, do you get bespoke gear? No, you buy the same hat that 10,000 other people are wearing and you cut it out, and that way they can't trade it. I don't know. There's probably reasons for it. I've never found out exactly why, but I mean, she wasn't Julie Newmar looking for any, you know.
No.
No. That was a cool outfit.
as a matter of fact, let's see here. There you go.
It's a toque. It's a hat that she just cuts out of things so she can see out of.
Yeah. It's
wasn't, I mean, it's functional.
That's fine. It can be functional, and you could love it all you want.
I'm not saying I didn't love it. I just thought it, you know, it's like, it's a hat you can grab off a shelf of any store and make it into the mask that you need, throw it away and get another one if you need.
Yeah, and I did do some research. We did have a discussion last night about the suit that she was in. It is made out of leather.
Oh, okay.
So you've got a person in $1,000 worth of leather, and she's wearing a $5 hat.
Well, she might have stole the outfit. She's a thief.
I will say this, in that movie, that girl needs to eat.
Get that girl a sandwich.
that girl need more than a sandwich. If you're getting her Subway, better get the double meat. she's got nothing. Anyways, I did enjoy her performance. I thought her performance was really, really good in this. And I've never really seen her act before, so I didn't know if she was going to be a good actress or not. Now, Robert Pattinson's acting in this was phenomenal. I was very worried because he is a skinny, he's a twink.
Forgot about that. Yes, folks, don't look that up on Google.
He's a twink.
But he did work out quite a bit for this movie. And once again, it is, you know, the beginnings. I wouldn't expect him to look like old man Batman, you know. Like the Affleck version is kind of that at the end of Batman's career look,
right?
You know, and this is very much the beginning of his career. Like he doesn't even really call himself the Batman. They refer to him as Vengeance more often in the film than anything else.
Yeah, and I was trying to get that sound bite for the show today.
Hey, Vengeance.
I'm Vengeance. Okay, I understand. This is Batman's second year of being around. Whatever you want to say. Don't care. Jim Gordon in this. We see Jim Gordon more as a police officer than the commissioner.
Well, he hasn't been promoted to commissioner yet.
Not yet.
He's a lieutenant.
And it was very interesting to see how they built that up.
I love Jeffrey Wright to death.
Hey.
More thunder? I thought you blew on the microphone.
Oh. No, I was like, damn. He, I think, was the best actor in this movie. Pattinson was great.
Circus was pretty good.
Yeah.
He didn't get a lot of screen time, but I don't think I've ever seen him without some form of CGI, because even when he was in Black Panther, they CGI'd out his arm. This may be his first full body acting gig ever. I'm not quite sure. Well, you don't want me to put dots on my face and wander around on my hands and legs. You just want me to act? Why the fuck do I do that?
You know, I think you could go through the list, and a lot of these guys were extremely good actors.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You got a Sarsgaard in there.
Colin Farrell was incredible. Yeah. Zoe Kravitz was good. You're right, Andy Serkis. That was the first time that's the first time I've seen him not as Gollum. I was like, I knew he looked familiar, and I didn't even realize that until you said something a second ago. I was like, that was Gollum.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We saw Jamie Lawson for a second, playing Bella Rialf. She was fairly good. Now Paul Dano as the Riddler.
Yeah.
Whoa. This Riddler I liked.
Yeah, they based him squarely upon the real life Zodiac killer.
Yeah. How many Riddlers have we seen so far? Just the one, which was Jim Carrey.
No. You have to remember that the 1967 TV Batman had a movie.
Right.
And all of the Gorshin was in it as the Riddler.
Right.
Yeah. So the Riddler has shown up in movies. This will be the third time.
Okay.
Technically.
which Riddler did you like the best?
I mean, I love Jim Carrey, but that was just, that movie was.
That movie was more over the top with everything.
Yeah.
It was Batman on steroids. They were trying to make it better than the first Batman. And all they did
was. Bat nipples just don't work. And I love Alicia Sterling-Stone, but it was like, whatever. No. Yeah. This guy is definitely.
She looked good in a skin tight.
Yeah. Outfit. No, she looked good as Batgirl. I'm not going to lie.
She looked good as now Zoe Kravitz. Wow. That would get me divorced
and probably killed.
Well I don't think I would survive the evening.
Yeah. He died with a smile on his face.
It would be bad.
Oh goodness gracious.
All right, what was my other note that I had written down was this would not be a soundtrack I would purchase because the music sucked.
Okay. It was okay to me.
It sucked. It was all the same.
Yeah.
All the way through it.
I mean, the weird thing is, like, this dude's composed songs for Pixar's The Incredibles, Pixar's Up, Doctor Strange, and the entirety of John Watts' Spider-Man Homecoming trilogy. He's even gotten an Emmy and an Oscar and 3 Grammys. So.
Okay.
But people like what they like. It was okay. I mean, I really didn't notice much of it. I thought it was interesting how they used Ave Maria a couple times in the film, and the Riddler's theme was actually like Ave Maria in a minor something chord. It was just, you know.
Yes. What was the other note that I had? The scene in the coffee shop.
Oh yeah.
I did write down that I actually loved that scene. I love the cinematography where the camera is coming up over the coffee cup.
Oh yeah.
And just kind of curving.
Well, no, it's a beautiful shot because it pans in straight first, then does a perfect arc up on top. It looked like,
yeah,
I saw a picture of the rig they used. It was pretty cool because it looked like it was on a track, and then it had a like a big perfect circle that it ran up on, you know. Yeah, it was a cool shot.
There, you mentioned the fact that several times that CGI, you thought CGI would be used and it wasn't.
The chase scene, the jump over the exploding trucks,
yes,
was a real car. Yeah, that was all in camera, real stuff going on. He's got his shooting up his nose. I'm getting text messages from somebody.
It's not me. And secondly, what'd you think of the Batmobile?
So I kind of liked it. And I know you expressed you did not like it at all.
No.
The things I liked about it were, like, if you are a billionaire, you could build a $5 million car, but guess what? Everybody would figure out, wait, who's got enough money to build that car? Oh, him. And I guess there was a backstory about out right after he lost his family, he had gotten into illegal car racing, and this was a car that he had built up little by little. And then he took it to another level. And this was basically a battering ram. It didn't have a lot of goodies in it. It was just basically a battering ram with an engine in the front and an engine in the back.
Yeah.
It was just brute raw. They used this charger initially for the body style. I mean, it was heavily modified, but I don't know. I kind of dug it, man. I the sound effects on it were good. I'm kind of a sucker for that realism. I love the Nolan stuff because it's grounded in reality. Like, it could happen. You know, you can say, that's plausible. That car was kind of plausible, so.
Okay. Before we go any further, I guess, since we haven't done this yet, and we probably should have done this first, here is the synopsis of the synopsis that the press release sent out.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
From Warner Brothers Pictures comes Matt Reeves, the Batman, starring Robert Pattinson in the dual role of Gotham City's vigilant detective and his alter ego, reclusive billionaire Bruce Wayne. I'm gonna skip some of this.
Need a more concise synopsis. Yeah.
2 years of stalking the streets as Batman, Robert Pattinson, striking fear into the hearts of criminals, has led Bruce Wayne deep into the shadows of Gotham City. With only a few trusted allies, Alfred Pennyworth and Lieutenant James Gordon, amongst the city's corrupt network of officials and high-profile figures, the lone vigilante has established himself as the sole embodiment of vengeance amongst his fellow citizens.
Damn vengeance.
When a killer targets Gotham's elite with a series of sadistic machines, which that is something that we need to talk about, and we didn't talk about it last night, a trail of cryptic clues sends the world's greatest detective on an investigation into the underworld, where he encounters such characters as Selina Kyle, aka Catwoman, Oswald Cobblepot, a.k.a. the Penguin, Carmine Falcone, and Edward Nashton, a.k.a. the Riddler. As the evidence begins to lead closer to home and the scales of the perpetrator's plans becomes clear, Batman must forge new relationships, unmask the culprit, and bring justice to the abuse of power and corruption that has long plagued Gotham City. Now,
that's a mouthful.
Yeah, and I may cut that out of this and move it in front of everything. Anyways, we did not talk about the machines that this, I will say, fascinated the living shit out of me.
The rat maze thing on the guy's face. And
the rat maze thing was freaking awesome. I actually liked the electric guillotine, or the explosive guillotine.
Oh, the explosive collar on the guy. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. I wish they would have had a better picture of that happening. I was all about that. But the rat maze really, I mean, that's some serious torture there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of rats. Yeah. Anyways. This was a great look into Alfred, mm-hmm. and the relationship between Alfred and Bruce, which I don't think the other movies ever really went into how Alfred was.
Nolan's touched on it from time to time, but yeah, this one was a lot more the father figure kind of thing going on. Which I liked a lot.
All right, I've gone through all my notes. Well, last night we figured out that you have a lot of technical stuff to discuss.
I'm gonna try and not bore you with a bunch of this stuff. I've got a few more notes here, like the Riddler and the Batman were specifically written with Paul Dano and Pattinson in mind. Pattinson saw, Matt Reeves saw Pattinson in the movie Good Time and said, I gotta have him in, you know. The City Hall interior was actually a custom built set in Northern London. The Iceberg Lounge is an actual nightclub in London. Printworks, which used to be a newspaper factory, when it came to real life spots used to create Gotham, they were largely across the UK and Chicago, which I never really picked up on. That was kind of one of the things I did like about this movie. It didn't look like Chicago, or it didn't look like any city. When you watch the Nolan series, it's obviously Chicago. It's just, it is what it is, you know. This one really looked like it could have been a different city. So I give a little kudos for that. Minor theme, we did that. It's raining in almost every outdoor scene, which they took a lot of inspiration from this movie from Seven.
Mm.
The raining outside all the time, they took from that. The devices, the serial killer thing, they drew a lot of stuff from Seven.
So where was this filmed?
UK and Chicago, primarily.
I thought for sure it was UK. Almost all of the actors are UK actors.
Irish and Welsh and UK, and you got Zoe and Wright, they're Americans.
Irish and Welsh. They're part of the UK.
Yeah, they're not all London, though. You know what I'm saying? They're all over the pond.
I didn't say London. No, okay. I never said London.
I thought you said England. My bad. My bad.
Ah, I said UK.
Okay.
The UK.
Great Britain.
The great, like, the, it's the Great British Empire.
There is, in this movie, there is a replica bust of Shakespeare that looks exactly like the bust of Shakespeare in the original TV series, which I thought was a nice subtle nod. Do you remember, let's see, first third of the movie when the Batman leaves the Iceberg Club? If you, it pans out so you can see him in the bottom right hand of the screen leaving the club. If you stop it right there and you look top left, you can see the Riddler looking through binoculars down at that scene, because that's where he shot the guy at the end.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's like if you stop, if you'd have looked up and left instead of where you're supposed to look, you'd have seen him right there and you would have been like, oh crap, shit's going down. Yeah.
And I just had something to say and now it's gone. Go on. It'll come back, I hope.
In the Riddler video that shows the dirt on the Wayne family, there's a cease and desist letter that's shown real quickly from the Miller and Moore LLP law firm, which is a nod to Frank Miller and Alan Moore, the comic writers who wrote The Dark Knight Returns and The Killing Joke, which I thought you would appreciate.
Most definitely.
There's a couple of actor-inspired things, like the guy who played Carmine Falcone, he bought his own vintage sunglasses out of on his own volition, rationalizing that Falcone needed to have his own mask to contrast with the Batman. And I know you, let's see, Pfeiffer, Halle Berry, and Anne Hathaway were nothing but supportive of Zoe Kravitz's portrayal of Catwoman, so they all gave her a thumbs up. DeVito was actually very supportive and personally approved of Colin Farrell's taking up the mantle of the Penguin. You said you liked the Batman's outfit, and they kind of heavily base that on Batman Noel and Batman Damned artists Lee Bermejo. He was proud that the film's Batsuit took heavy inspiration from his design, so he was really pleased. Have we talked about Corridor Crew before on this channel?
No. I don't think so.
Corridor Crew is a YouTube channel of a bunch of guys that do CGI stuff. They're all computer, and like they'll do these weekly things. And you should definitely check them out, because some of their stuff is, all their stuff is usually really funny. Like they took, you know, when you go to a bowling alley and you get the bowling animations that pop up there, they tried to make the, I don't even remember how they put it, the worst, most controversial bowling videos out there. At one point they have pins that are dressed as Nazis going down the road. They took the entire trailer to the Batman and superimposed Adam West and the old Batmobile onto the entire trailer for this movie, and these guys absolutely loved that shit. You look it up sometime. It's a great, great bit.
I will take a look at that.
The website that they had in the movie, the Ratalada.com.
Ratalada.
It was apparently a real website out in the world for a while, and people could go there and figure out the ciphers that were on the website to get to different sites and stuff like that. Now, if you go to that website, it has a picture, this big blue picture. This domain has been seized by the Gotham City Police Department. That's all that pops up.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
I don't know if this is, I don't know. This one popped up. I put it up here. Maybe it's whatever. Queer character, queer actor. Selina is heavily implied to be in a relationship with her roommate, Annika, and expresses interest in the Batman. Her actress, Zoe Kravitz, is also bisexual. So I don't know. Is that typecasting? Is that, I don't know.
I don't know.
Now, this movie was supposed to be directed, produced, co-written by Ben Affleck originally, and he was supposed to star in this movie. He had reservations about the project. He dropped out. Reeves took over, reworked the story. Reeves drew upon Batman: The Long Halloween and its sequel, The Dark Victory, by Joseph Loeb and Tim Sale, which feature Batman hunting a serial killer. Kravitz was actually a little reluctant to join another superhero movie after she'd worked on X-Men First Class, but she loved the Catwoman character, so she got in there. Colin Farrell looked to the Godfather character, Frito Corleone, for inspiration. And he worked with a dialect coach named Jessica Drake, and I looked into her real quickly. She's been a dialect coach in the movie since 1989. And she's done movies like Forrest Gump and Saving Private Ryan, which I thought that was kind of interesting too.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
They got that from the kid. They really didn't have the Forrest Gump voice down until they cast the kid who played Forrest as a young kid. And Hanks was like, I'm just going to imitate him. His voice is fantastic. Yeah, that was it.
Gotta love it. All right. Something that we forgot to discuss as well was, let's see, domestically, it made $369 million so far. Opening week, it made $134 million.
Now, impressive numbers. I'm happy for him. I don't think it would have been quite as much in a year where there were, usually there's three times the amount of movies in theaters that there are right now. It's just we're that post COVID shit, and the movies are going to take a while to go. This movie was put on hold for weeks and months because of COVID. So it could have been out. If that hadn't happened, this film would have been out a year and a half ago.
Well, so internationally, this film has made $401 million so far.
Not too shabby.
And worldwide, $770 million.
Nice.
This is going to be a $1 billion movie before it's a year old. That's nice. Awesome. That's awesome. All right. Is there anything else that we need to discuss about this movie?
I got three more pages of crap on here. What are you talking about?
Well, you're going to have to get to that three pages of crap after
the break.
The break.
All right, kids.
What is it I need us to go out on here?
At least you're past your depression rock from last night.
And just because you said that. Do you know this band? This was college.
No, I know this song. It's not coming to me, but I know the band. Not Yaz, but it's... Is it?
It was Yaz.
Oh, okay.
It was Yaz minus Alison Moyet.
Oh, okay.
They became Erasure after. Oh,
God, that's right. Yes. Okay.
All right, people. There's your trivia for the day.
See you soon.
Do that.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Now this is good movie music.
Don't they use this in a commercial for like alcohol or something?
Well, they do now, but it's from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Okay.
This is the theme song in Ennio, what was his name? Ennio. Ennio Morricone.
You got food out there. Why are... All right. I guess the cat wants petted. All right. Cat's getting petted.
Is the cat getting petted?
Yeah, this is the only time this cat wants attention is when we're doing this podcast. That's it.
Really?
Yeah. It's the only time he will not bite you.
Is it possible for you to just shut the fuck up for 10 seconds? Is it possible for you to just shut the fuck up for 10 seconds?
A lot of weird echo in that clip. Woo.
Well, it's because I don't have that clip in my I am just testing that clip and it it speeds it up a little bit.
Fair enough.
Damn, none of my stuff is working. Why?
Uh-huh. All right, yeah. You play with stuff, and I talk about that Batmobile for 2 seconds here. The back engine is a Ford Triton V10 with a series of turbochargers and an afterburner on its exhaust. Some of the guys from Fast and Furious 9 actually worked on this film for that car. Nico Ferrari, Nick Murray, and Lil Gwynne Thomas. All right. There were 4 stunt cars built for the movie. 3, including the Batmobile at the premiere, were built around 650 brake horsepower V8 engines. One had its engine removed for gimbal work. And then a 4th one, they actually installed a Tesla drivetrain so that they could use it at night in city streets, or they could use it on a sound stage and it wouldn't be so loud that it would blow everybody's eardrums out. So little tidbits about the car.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into all this crap here, but with the cinematography, they didn't want that squeaky clean looking movie. Like all the Marvel movies are so crisp and clean and clear and everything. Digital photography has really advanced a lot of stuff in a lot of ways, but they wanted this one to look a lot more old school, a lot more like, it was filmed on real film, like on 35 millimeter film or something like that. So they use these anamorphic lenses, the Arri Alpha anamorphic lens detuned. So,
it was the detuned.
Yeah. So yeah, I know. Right. So basically he's going, fucking talking about whatever. I'm going to make fun of him.
Sorry.
Basically, what it does, it's a really incredibly good lens in the center. Everything else falls off in focus at the edges. And it kind of dirties up the frame of the film. So where you point the camera is where your focus, it's kind of like your own eyes. Your own eyes really can only focus at exactly what you're looking at. Everything off to the sides is just kind of out of focus. And that's what they did to like draw your attention to certain things. And they did a lot of like subtle stuff. Like there was the one scene in the car chase where it looked like water had gotten on the camera. Like you're looking out of the Batmobile and you can see the water hitting it. And it was just basically strips of silicone that they put on the edge of the actual lens to simulate that look of water. And then they did something called an interpositive IP.
What the hell was that?
Probably some idiot without a muffler going down the road. I'm right on a main street here, so.
No shit, that was loud as, you see. Do you remember me telling you the other day, I was like, oh, you're getting feedback from your mic. It wasn't feedback. That was the noise that I heard.
Oh, it was just a loud-ass car going down
the road. It was a loud-ass car going down the road.
So anyway, IP is something I had never heard of this before. It's an orange-based motion picture film with a positive image made from the edited camera negative. I can't wrap my head around it, but it made the film look like it was on 35 millimeter film. And Greg Fraser, who's done Dune and a number of other incredible films, yes. He said this was a tough one for him. He had done Rogue One, Lion, Vice, Zero Dark 30, and Dune. So this guy's got some chops.
I liked his Dune.
Oh, Dune is spectacular. Holy crap. You were talking about the film being too light or too dark, and they wanted the film dark, but they tried not to be overly oppressive. And maybe they didn't 100% get there, but they actually researched a bunch of pictures that would show the, what do they call it together? A document for the director called Light for Dark.
Yeah.
They're pictures that you would call dark, but were easy to look at. They had big areas of light, but shadows in the foreground or pockets of darkness. So you knew it was a dark place. They were always teetering on the edge of unreadability versus being too light. And then the last thing I'll touch upon is, do you ever see like the making of the Mandalorian TV show?
Yes.
So you know that they incorporated something brand new, these 360 degree LED screens that they could project anything they wanted to on them. Outdoor images. The brilliant thing about this is on a couple of levels, doing a green screen and blue screen, it's really tough to get light good on the actors. It's just really, really tough. And there's usually you'll catch that edge along the actor where it's like, oh, that's on a green screen, a blue screen. With this, they actually use a video game engine to render all these backgrounds on these thousands and tens of thousands of screens that they use for this stuff. So now the actors feel like they're in the environment that they're supposed to be in. All the light shining on the actors and the cars and everything in the scene is the light from the atmosphere, from the setting, from the way it should look in real life. And like, if you have a scene that takes place as the sun sets, in a regular film, you have one shot where the light's perfect and you're done for that day. And then you got to wait for another day. You could hold the same 2 minutes of sunset for 8 hours on one of these screens and it just looks perfect. And they can change stuff and they go, okay, that building is a little too big. We need to kind of make it smaller, or it needs to be dustier looking or whatever. So you can always change stuff on the fly. Have it any time of day or night or anything like that. Looking at pictures of the size of this 360 degree thing, and they even had TV screens as a ceiling for this entire soundstage. It's fucking amazing. It's well worth looking up this. What do they call it? They call it. I can't find it. They have a name for it.
there's a television
volume studio. It's called volume is what they call this.
Okay. There is a television studio out here that has a half round LED system, but it's also on the floor and the ceiling. So you can immerse yourself into anything that you want.
Nice.
It's not a full 360. Like I said, it's half. So all of your cameras and stuff are out.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a proscenium thing, but they can move it around a little bit. Yeah, no, I get it. That's kind of cool.
But their video wall, that curved video wall, is almost 60 feet tall. That's huge.
That is huge.
60 feet tall and 180 feet wide. That's a massive amount of LED screen.
It's a lot of computing power that you got to throw at that thing to get all that stuff to work too, man.
Well, ooh, that's, I mean, this is right up the alley of what I do for a living. And, I mean, I think our video wall back 10 years ago when we bought it was $200,000. And that's a 20 foot tall by 40 feet wide. This is much, much larger than that. Can you hear my fan?
No. Can you hear mine?
No.
Okay. We're good.
I just looked over and realized that my fan is still running. I was like, oh, fuck.
Nope. All right. That's kind of all the technical stuff. I had a bunch of stuff in there, but it's just kind of talking over the same things we've already talked about. So, I think that's about all I got on this film, other than, I don't know, wrap up.
Is it a film? It's a film.
Film, like a filament. It's part of a filament, just a film.
It's just a film. Okay. Well,
You had some very heated thoughts about this film last night. Have you tempered some of those thoughts this morning? Or
I'm toning it down. And we are to the point where we have to do our final summation of what we think of this film and then place it onto a shelf or in the box behind the counter.
Now, I do want to bring out, because you had issues with this film that it didn't follow any of the comic book stuff very well. That was your biggest issue.
Okay. Last night, that was my biggest issue. I will say it again. Actually, I was planning on cutting that piece out of last night. It doesn't follow any of the comic books. It doesn't have anything to do with the comic books. It's kind of like the director of this film watched a bunch of Batman movies and decided to make his own.
Okay.
And that I do have a problem with. I don't like it when movies go off script of what that is. Guardians of the Galaxies, prime example. Great film series.
Mm-hmm.
Adheres to the comic book. It lives by the comic book. This doesn't. So that was a big turnoff for me. Myself, okay, as a person who collects comics, who loves comics, who would basically, I mean, comics were my life at one point. Comics and D&D, I loved it. I still love both.
Surprising you ever got laid.
Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
Mm-hmm.
Now let me ask you. So
and when all I find her, I will marry her.
Never.
And think I will be happy, and my curse will be lifted.
You can go off and rule the universe from beyond the grave.
Indeed.
Or check into a psycho ward, whichever comes first, huh?
I'm gonna.
You need to just cut out indeed. Okay, let me ask you this question then.
Okay.
All of the Batman movies that have been on the big screen, do they all then adhere to the comic books faithfully?
No. They don't all.
Okay.
But
I don't know. I'm not. I was never a DC person. I don't think I've read a single Batman comic or anything ever. So.
Okay. He, like the Dark Knight, the movie series.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a Dark Knight comic series.
Okay.
That it is based off of. And it's more of an evil Batman. It's one of my favorite comic series that came out because it was a dark Batman. Now, the original Batmans, the first ones, were really more set up like the first movie, like the Michael Keaton movie. Mm-hmm. They were very cognizant of sticking to what the comic was. Now, I understand a movie series is not going to be able to survive off of the comic series alone. They can't.
Right.
You know, you're going to run out of material at some point in time. Superman, the Supermans that we have now are not like the comics at all. Captain Marvel, Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that film was almost like taking 50 comics and smashing them together. and that's just, I guess I'm a purist, is what you would call
that's
it.
That's cool. I wanted to ask you that question specifically because I wanted to say, you know, you were kind of hating on the film last night, but I wanted you to like take a step back into, okay, as a movie, and let's say you'd never seen a Batman comic book in your life, as a movie itself, well, it's just as technical aspects or whatever, the sure. prettiness or whatever, did you enjoy it?
The first hour and 45 minutes, I loved.
Okay.
No, actually, the first hour and 45 minutes, I didn't love. It was the last hour and 45 minutes I loved. This movie was too long.
It was big.
This movie, they really could have made two movies out of this. And I think everyone would have been happy.
Yeah.
This brings me back to the problem with the music. When you have a movie that's 3 hours long, your score is only 15 minutes of music, people are going to get bored with it. I did not enjoy the music. I did not enjoy the sound effects.
I thought the car chase sound effects were phenomenal.
Okay, so 5 minutes out of 3 hours is phenomenal. And
nothing else really. Nothing really stuck out sound effect wise is like annoying me. Sometimes that's my metric is like, did I notice it? Why? Because like if you notice it because it's an awesome sound effect, it's like, well, okay, that was. It took me out of the movie.
I would not say that it is the sound effects that bothered me.
Okay.
I used the wrong term.
Okay.
Here's what was bothering me. The vamp through the entire film over and over and over again. It was the same thing. It was the same thing all the way through. Michael may be a fabulous composer, but all he had to write for this movie was 15 minutes of music, and we're just going to play it over and over and over again. And Ave Maria, I love Ave Maria.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to hear Ave Maria 50 times in a movie?
Okay. That's a valid point. It's a valid point. Like I say, I didn't notice it. So, you know, maybe they were hoping that nobody would notice it. I don't know.
I don't know. That was annoying to me. The costuming was annoying. The production values were up there, except for in those two areas.
Yeah. Okay.
As far as I'm concerned. Now, I'm in the entertainment industry, or used to be. So I'm a little bit more of a stickler on,
I get
certain
it.
Things. And I'm yeah. All right. So I have to show you this, because I have no clue what the fuck. This thing just popped up on my screen. I can't see you at all. Well, I can. It's so fucked up. Where's screen three? Screen three, shit. You see this thing?
It's like a program trying to start.
That's what I thought. Is it this thing here? What do I have to do? What the hell is it?
Well, why don't you pause recording and
guys, my life sucks.
Control alt delete and figure out what the hell it is.
Okay, stop sharing. Pause.
No, I have traffic and thunder. I have traffic and thunder. It's not feedback. So anyway, I do get where you're coming from with the whole purist thing, and I'll give you a really good example.
Yes,
I have been a really big science fiction reader for a long time. Like, I read Dune, I think, when I was 10. Just because I saw a cover of the book, I was fascinated by the sandworm on the cover of this book. I've read all of...
Is that why you like Tremors?
Tremors is just fucking hilarious, man. What are you talking about? That's a great film, man.
One of Kevin Bacon's best.
I know, right? And he's not really the like main character either, which is great, you know? So I've read all the robot stories, which is Asimov, yeah, the three laws of robotics, blah blah blah. Every single one of his stories is about how stupid humans are. It's like the robots are doing exactly what you told them to, and but it's garbage in, garbage out. If you tell them something stupid happens. It's always the human's fault. Three laws of robotics are—they're hardwired. They are not able to be changed. That's just—it is what it is. So when the Will Smith movie came out, I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? What, this is bullshit. This is stupid. This is not like some, you know, pissant writer came along and said, oh, this is good stuff, but I can improve upon it. That's like, okay, let's do a story about the Bible where Jesus lives. That'll be a better movie. Like, you dumb fuck. I was like, do you have any awards to your name for writing novels? No. Quit fucking with shit you don't know anything about. Yeah, that movie just oh yeah, that's it. Gets just, it's sand in my eye, it's a splinter under my thumbnail, it's stepping on a Lego, it's everything and that and worse. But it was pretty. Like, if I look at that movie just from the technical standpoint, it was very pretty. I liked the aesthetics of it. The action was pretty decent. There was some good about it, but man, the writing just pissed me. I hated that movie. Still do. Always will. So yeah, I get where you're coming from when they fuck with the source material way too much.
Yeah, and it's nothing against the people that worked on this film or anything like that.
Let me pose something to you. Maybe that will soften the blow ever so slightly. Look at this film as an alternate universe of what could have happened. How's that?
Are you fucking high?
No.
I can't.
Look at
it's Batman.
That was
a good attempt. I give you an A for effort.
I mean, that's how I look at this. This is just, it's so slightly different from anything that's come before. It's like, it's kind of an alternate universe version of what could have happened. What if, you know?
Like I said, it was a good attempt.
Okay.
Oh, shit. I turned all my shit off to get rid of that thing.
All your sound effects and everything are gone.
I'm like sitting here pressing my button. It's like,
nothing's happening.
Where the fuck is it? Why are you not working? Hello? You've got some splaining to do.
I actually watched a video where he never actually said those lines.
Really?
Yeah. He never said, "You guys, Lucy, you got some explaining to do?" Never uttered those lines. Scotty beam me up. Never once uttered in the entire Star Trek series.
Dum dum.
Yes?
You give me gum gum.
I give you gum gum?
You do dum dum. You give me gum gum.
Yeah, okay. You know what? I have no gum gum, sorry. And my name isn't Dum Dum. My name's Larry.
No, your name, Dum Dum.
There's a touch of madness around here.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
The 1961 Ferrari 250 GT, California. Less than 100 were made.
Oh, you're starting right in, huh? Starting right in with the insults. No warming up in a bullpen or nothing, man.
All right.
I think there was another illusion. I think that the one picture in the art gallery that Jack Nicholson did not destroy showed up in this film on, I think it was in the Riddler's apartment, actually. It was like the one, the boy in blue. Was that it? Whatever, the one picture in the original Batman movie
where he throws his cane up, like, and says, no, I kind of like this one.
That one showed up in this movie also, just as a quick brief on the wall appearance in one of the scenes.
You all know the Bible is made of testaments old and new. You've been told it's just those two parts, or only one if you're a Jew. But what if I were to tell you there's a fresh third part out there, which was found by a hip new prophet who had a little Donny Osmond flair? Have you heard of the All-American Prophet? The blonde-haired, blue-eyed voice of God. He didn't come from the Middle East like those other holy. I'm gonna take it.
Okay. That has got to be from the Book of Mormon, the South
Correct.
Park.
Correct.
The South book. Park. Yeah.
The Book of Mormon. That is from the Broadway version.
That episode on South Park was
brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. Oh my God.
I mean,
because you heard the dum 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 in the background, the whole thing, and at the very end, smart, 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 smart. You're like, ah, wow.
Oh, you in trouble, dum dum. You better run, run from Attila the Hun Hun. See you later, dum dum.
Okay, yes. I the South Park version of the Book of Mormon was stinking brilliant. But if you get the opportunity to see the show Book of Mormon.
Oh, I heard it's fabulous.
It is the ultimate in blasphemy. And I loved every freaking second of it. Absolutely. I mean, if you're going to pick on something, pick on religion. It just works every time.
All right, you know what the difference between a religion and a cult is, right? And honestly, this is just the honest thing. If the guy who wrote
a tax break,
no, if the guy who wrote the book is dead, it is now officially a religion. If he's still alive, it's a cult. That's it. That's the only difference. Oh,
isn't that how Scientology started?
Yeah, L. Ron died, it became a religion.
It was basically a cult, and then all of a sudden
he died.
Yeah,
it was now. Hey, it's a religion. He's dead. It's a religion. Yay!
I'm telling you, Jesus was a smart mother.
Right early and got it going. Fast track that shit.
He got that tax break right after he
going straight to hell. Yeah.
Oh man, I've been going to hell for the past 30 years.
Adding the frequent flyer miles onto your ticket at this point.
So here. Okay. So I guess we need to
shelve this bad boy.
Yeah, we need to do our summation and shelve this bitch.
Five being the worst, top shelf or number one being the best, and
there's case behind the counter.
Right. Clear box with the lock. Only the manager's got the key.
Yep. Nope. So far, not one movie has made it into the box yet.
Nothing we've reviewed. We've kind of agreed of a couple of trilogies that reside there because of their awesomeness. I think Lord of the Rings was one of them.
Yes, and we will do our... that is on my list of deep dives. I want to do a deep dive on
that's Lord like of weeks. The Rings. That's like weeks of stuff, man.
Dude, I'm figuring that's a month.
Yeah.
That's a month's shows. But the thing is that we have seen them. So that kind of makes it a little bit easier. You can kind of do a quick once over of everything that's in there. But I also think that Star Wars needs to be done. Now, truthfully, I've been bouncing this around in my freaking head.
There's a lot of room there, so.
I've been bouncing this around in my head for a little while, and I'm, yeah, shut up. I just caught that. I think the next movie that we're going to do, and you have input on this as well, but we've discussed this movie before. Okay. We have talked about doing this review. I think we need to do it. And that's Tron versus Tron
Legacy. Legacy. Whoa.
Yes. There's something. Okay, Tron, you and I were in college. Were we in college when Tron came out?
I don't think so.
I think we were in high school.
Probably.
I think that was like 1984.
I can't spell, apparently.
I know that
Tron, brother, please.
I know that Brother Burke is looking it up
for us. 1982.
1982. I was in junior high school.
Maybe you only saw it when you got to high school. I don't know.
No, I went to the movie theater to see
it. Okay.
I went like 14 times to the Medina movie theater. That movie will be in the box behind the counter. I will honestly, I'll tell you that right now.
I'd have to really think about that. It's probably there.
Yeah. I know that Lord of the Rings is in the box behind the counter.
Yep.
I
think we figured the first three Star Wars were there.
Yeah, the Star Wars trilogy, 77 the original. Through,
yeah.
One is in there. Hang on a sec. Hey, get out of there! You freaking piss in there! I'm gonna freaking kill you! Get out of there!
It's got to be a cat or a duck. I'm not quite sure which.
I'm going to have to go back and see what your commentary was during that whole episode.
It's either a cat or a duck. I'm not sure. Or a vagrant on your front door. I'm not quite sure.
You know what's for dinner tonight?
Duck à l'orange.
More like kitty à l'orange.
All right, my friend, I think we need to wrap this up and you need to shelve this bad boy.
Well, okay, my summation on this is still the same as it was last night, okay. Which is, it is a good film.
There are pieces you just couldn't get past, which I get. There are
definitely pieces that I can't get past. The cinematography was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Costuming sucked. Music sucked.
Not all the costumes. Some of the costuming pissed you off. There's, I mean,
okay. We can go there.
Yeah.
All in all, is it a movie that people should see? Well, if you like 3 hours of the same music, go ahead, watch it. I am putting this on shelf number 3.
Better than last night.
Last night I put it on shelf 4, but today you and I discussed more of the technical aspect. That is the only thing that has boosted this film. It's not the costuming, it's not the music, and it is not the it's not the writing. I am interested though in seeing where this goes, because if this builds into the Batman that I love, then that's great.
It sounds like they're going to do like what Marvel's doing right now. They're doing like offshoot series of like Gordon as a mini series and maybe Catwoman as a mini series. I don't know if they're going to do another film or not. I would like to see another film of this just to see where it goes.
I would agree with you on that. As far as the offshoots go, everyone knows that Solo was one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah, but you don't have Disney, do you?
No.
All right, you're missing out, because like these miniseries that Marvel's been doing on Disney, some of them are phenomenal. The Loki miniseries was fucking great. They're now doing a miniseries called Kenobi, and it's Ewan McGregor as Ben, like after the Order 66 and before Luke was a young man. So it's like 10 years after, you know, Order 66, basically. And it's really, really interesting. There's a lot of good stuff out there that's like offshoots of the movies. The Scarlet Witch was a what do they call that one? That was
What the hell was that?
I thought it was on your end. I thought somebody was asking if they feed the chickens.
No, it was on my end, but I couldn't hear it because I had earphones in.
They feed the chickens.
What chickens? We don't have chickens.
Yeah, chickens.
The ducks.
No, I didn't feed the chickens. I didn't feed the cats either. When you feed them, they poo. Damn, man. I'd be a great father.
So anyway, that's a tough one, man. The I really enjoyed the first two acts of the movie. The last act, I mean, it wrapped up the movie. It just seemed a little out of place. I don't know. It's at least a lot out of place. Yeah.
And the relationship between Catwoman and
I was okay with Batman? That. I'm talking about just like, you know, the dude turns himself in and you know, and then we got to the whole stuff with the, and that was the other bad bit of like either miniature or CGI when all the water's pouring into the city. It was like, that's not good. It's not, doesn't look good. So the last part of the movie kind of soured it for me. It's a solid 3. It's close to being a 2, but I'm gonna leave it at a 3.
Okay, so we're both leaving it at a 3. Wow, I was really expecting more. I enjoyed Spider-Man more than this, and I'm not a Spider-Man fan. But that Spider-Man was really good.
It was phenomenal.
Johnny, what
do you think? I like this film.
Yeah. You know? Well, I could make a hat, or a brooch, a pterodactyl.
Pick the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
Yeah, the Batman was let's just say.
Then it's no Lone Wolf McQuade, but then again, what is?
What's the matter, Burke? Did I turn it up too loud?
No, it's what comes after.
Here it comes.
Or should
here
I do it? Comes? Oh, your earphones are in. Should I do it for you? Best movie ever!
I'm telling you. It's the only film in the box right now.
Screw those Oscar winners. They don't know what they're talking about.
How? How could no one have given this movie an award?
It probably got a Razzie, for all you know.
We were doing our old grading system when we did this movie. And I'm sorry to say that Burke gave it a very, very bad score. Just to spite me. Because he knows. Best movie ever!
Thank God. Got to the volume control, thank God.
All right, I've had enough of that. So what movie would you want to do next?
I had not even thought about that yet. Or we did a movie. We should do something other than a movie next week.
Let's bring up our list and see.
I actually have iRobot written down on a blank piece here. But that ain't it. Suggestions.
That's not it.
Dark TV shows, movies that can't be made today, natural disasters. Did we do the best movie lines? And yeah, we did something like that.
Yeah, we did.
All right. 20 completely random obscure facts. I think we did that too. Tim Burton movies loved or hated.
I love Tim Burton.
Unique holiday traditions from around the world that we don't have. Fears and phobias. I think we did that. Top 10 dream destinations. Let me think we did that. did that. T- 10 cities in the U.S. you'd like to visit and have not. That's easy. I haven't been to any really good cities, though.
So. Mm.
10 foods that you refuse to try or will never try again, and why?
Anything with onions. I do not eat onions. Dropbox. Uh-oh. That's a big-ass duck. I gotta quit feeding them things. Holy cow, dude.
I don't know, man.
Dark TV shows, yeah.
There you go.
This down here. I thought we did childhood cartoons. No, we didn't do that yet.
We haven't?
I don't remember if we did. I mean, I know that I talked about Star Blazers and all that. We did Top Candies.
Yep.
We did James Bonds. We did Top 10 Dream Destinations.
We did Best TV Shows Growing Up.
That was it. Castles, we've already done. Favorite Candy.
We've done that. We should do Favorite Cartoons then.
How many cartoons would I have on my list?
I would probably have more than 10, but why don't we try to keep it to 10 and see where it goes?
I don't even think I'd have 10.
You might start getting into it and realize there's more than that. Did you ever watch Transformers on TV when I was a kid? Or
no.
Well, you said Star Blazers. And
I watched Star Blazers.
And it could be any cartoon. I mean, have you watched cartoons lately?
What else did I watch?
Like Ren and Stimpy?
Tom and Jerry. Dude, hang on a second. This damn duck is going to sit out there and quack until I throw food at it.
And this is the section where Scott gets to edit out more dead air. But he has to listen to my bullshit while he's doing it. That's right, he loves the ducks more than he loves the show.
Oh, it's really hard living on a farm. All right, sir. It is your choice. Whatever you wish.
I say we try for the cartoons. I mean, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I think we should go over the Tim Burton movies. Kind of rate them as the which ones we get out of my bourbon, cat. I will kick you across the room. Get out.
Better than a duck.
Does the duck fuck with your bourbon?
No, but they fuck a lot.
Tim Burton movies. Top 10 Burton movies. And top 10 favorite cartoons.
So cartoons?
Or animated things. Because like The Hobbit movie, the original one, was a Rankin Bass animated cartoon movie.
Yeah, and that was actually good. So,
top 10 animated things.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. I don't know, though. I like that dark TV shows. But you know what? I can't even think of a whole bunch of dark TV shows. Well, anyways, sounds like a plan. We're going to do, Tim Burton.
And favorite animated productions.
Okay. Now wait, can Tim Burton be in there?
I don't know. Did he do anything animated?
Yeah,
like five or six? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Animated movies animated movies are fine. Cartoons are fine.
God, that's a big duck. Man, I should go out there. Dude, we could be having duck tonight. Oh, it took off. Damn it. I almost went out there with a meat cleaver.
Apparently not fat enough that it can't fly.
All right. So there you have it. The Batman is done.
Again.
Thankfully. You know, I should have asked you this. I really should. What was your favorite Batman series?
We talked about it last night. Nolan is my absolute favorite.
That's series. Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Okay.
The UPS, shiny things.
No, the UPS guy just got here. That means my low ball. My glasses are here. Finally. I canceled your order. I'm sorry. I'm okay. Not really sorry about it. You were like, I already have one. I was like, oh, I don't. I had nothing. Well, I was actually using my mother-in-law's Christmas
coffee mug or something, or
rocks.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No, the one that I would get, Bert, is probably going to be personalized with our Davis and Davis show logo. Kind of like my Yeti. All right, do you have anything else to say to those fabulous listeners that we have that really don't give a shit about the 2 hours and 17 minutes that we have gone and talked about a movie that really only needed 5 minutes? Look, we almost made it as long as the actual movie. As a matter of fact, I may add in shit from last night's show to make it the exact same length.
The Zack Snyder cut of...
The exact same length of the movie that we just watched. Because that is 3 hours that I will never get back.
No, I liked it. It's not one of my favorite all-time movies. I liked it more than you did. It's almost a second shelf movie, but it's like, I'll watch it again.
I was going to say, if you liked it that much, why is it on the third shelf?
That third act bugged me a little bit.
I mean, that puts
And listening to you talk about the music, I'm like, yeah, you know, the music did kind of... Yeah, so, I mean, it kind of, my perception was a little influenced by your perception of it. And oh, you went up because of you. Yeah. So, and, you know, I changed my opinion. It happens.
So, I'm not saying don't go see this movie.
It's worth seeing once. Absolutely. And some people may dig it more than us. And I'm probably going to watch it again. I mean, I probably only watched the first like 2/3 of the movie because... It which is much like when I watch Star Wars. What's the second one?
Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back. When I watch that movie, I typically fast forward through all the Yoda on Dagobah thing because it doesn't do a damn thing for me. The Han Solo story is the best part of that, and it's the flying through the asteroid belt is one of my favorite all time pieces of music in a movie ever. I watched it this morning. My daughter was listening to a TikTok and the music from that scene came on. I'm like, fuck, now I gotta watch that. Damn it. It's like Cartman listening to Come Sail Away. He's gotta sing the whole song. You know?
I really, really, really. I mean, okay, the next movies that we do is gonna be Tron. We have to do that. It's probably, yeah, I think that I will be very close to putting that in the box. But we have to do the Star Wars, and we have to do Lord of the Rings. And I know that they're gonna be long shows. I mean, you're talking multiple days.
Oh yeah.
But these are such iconic pictures, movies. They have to be talked about. They're still viable today.
Oh yeah.
You know, I feel bad for these kids because they weren't around when these movies came out. It's also like the Harry Potter series. The Harry Potter series, every one of those movies is in the box behind the shelf. Name one that wasn't good.
They were all good. I don't think they were all box worthy, but they were all good.
First one was definitely box worthy.
Oh yeah.
Deathly Hallows. I was not.
One or two.
Well, I was sad that they split them up actually, because yeah. I think they could have made a 3-hour movie and had that whole thing done.
They need a bitch about a 3-hour movie probably.
Prisoner of Azkaban was one of my favorites. It was dark. Yeah. It was evil. That was great. Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah.
Was good.
I said they're all good.
Yeah.
But what was it? The Order of the Phoenix was.
That was the only one that I could sit back and go, this was kind of. That it was kind of the precursor to the Deathly Hallows.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you needed the movie to be made to get to the ending.
Yeah.
But
the whole thing, oh God, dude, we have to do a show about Harry Potter.
Oh God.
The Horcrux, oh, come on. Come on. That series shaped the kids that are running our country now.
Not yet. There are still 70-year-old people running the country at this point, so not quite yet.
Well, we don't talk about them. All right. All right. We
ladies and gentlemen, need
to do a deep dive on Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, God. That'll get dark.
Well, I don't think so. I think.
You'll go down the rabbit hole. You'll be like, oh, crap.
Ooh. Oh, well, yeah. Bob Crane's life was.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a different little boy.
He marched to a different drummer.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's been 2 hours and 23 minutes of nothing but sheer hell.
And we hope you enjoyed our suffering.
All right, everyone, we're out of here.
Have a great night.
Homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.